Ho, ho, ho. That's feeder and come back around. It's a new leaf, Steve. I'm going to do properly now. I'm not going to be slovenly. I'm sitting up straight, you see.
Yep.
And it's going to be a proper DJing, because I think... Coming up soon, some great tracks, including a new one from Abs and an old one from Snow. Informer.
You know me, Danny. Stormy Ekaboom, a licky boom boom down.
I'm joking, of course. We've got some fantastic tracks,
good
some
stuff,
great
yeah.
chat, and we've got Carl
That's
with
some
me,
great
Steve.
Chat.
Steve. I'm Ricky Gervais on XFM 104.9.
There he is indeed, with him, Steve Merchant. And Carl Pilkington, of course. Say hello, Carl.
All right.
Yeah, nice. And you say you're in...
The beginning of a radio show is very much your wares, your shop window, laying out your stall. I don't think you could choose a better track than The Only Ones, Another Girl on the Planet.
I'd love to hear it.
Another planet. One of my favourite intros, that.
Amazing.
Oh, that was dangerous, because I once heard on Capital Radio, this has got to be the greatest rock intro of all time, and they played Money for Nothing by Dire Straits.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I can just imagine them putting their head down.
I remember a friend of mine when I was at school, he just bought a car, and he took me outside to show off the stereo system, Money for Nothing.
Really?
He just played that. I've never heard the song before. Just played that for its entire 4 or 5 minute duration.
It is a
to
good
show
song
off
for
the sound system.
Yeah, it's a good song for showing off intros and sound
yeah,
systems.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You said you were driving along earlier. You saw someone.
It was one of those zooped up sort of sporty saloons.
Nice.
You know, the big like a Mondale or something. And it was blaring out, and the bloke in it was sort of like I could tell he was 24, but already going bald.
Yeah.
From like obviously his estate agency job, not too
yeah,
but he's made a bit of money and he's got and the stereo system was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, so loud, and it was going through Covent Garden. He was playing Snow Informer.
Oh, do people remember Informer by Snow? It was a big tune in my
I don't know. It's great. Yeah, I always enjoy it.
Can I bring that in next week? Can we play Snow next week?
Well, you can play a tiny little bit.
Tiny little bit of Snow.
Yeah.
Informer. Do you remember Snow, Carl?
Yeah,
loved it. Yeah, big tune.
Yeah, loved it. Oh, did you?
Big tune from the 90s.
Happy song.
You were saying that you've turned over a new leaf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that in all aspects of your life, or is that just in your broadcasting career? Because the reason I bring that up is because, do you want to describe what you were eating just now when we came in? Because you're a 40-year-old man, you put on a little bit of weight, so presumably you're watching what you eat.
Well, no, but it sounded exotic. I went into a cafe and they didn't have a cheese sandwich.
Right.
And,
can I describe what it looked like to me? Right, it looked to me like a big slab of cheese. You've just got them to just cut off a big block of cheese, like the size of a CD case. One of those double albums, right, of cheese, right? And just lightly melt that for me so it drips over my hand and it gets really greasy in the bag. But just lay some strips of bacon on the top.
Yeah, but listen, you've embarrassed yourself.
Is that what it was?
No, it's a croque monsieur, so it's French.
It's a what?
A croque monsieur.
A croque monsieur.
Yeah, and so I thought, ooh.
I've never heard of a croque monsieur.
You're having a, see, you've embarrassed yourself.
Is that how it's pronounced, or is it croque monsieur?
Oh!
Hey? Hey? You didn't expect me to be bringing out the French. Hey, tu aimes la musique pop? Oui, je t'aime la musique pop.
Le plume de ma tante.
Où est le syndicat d'initiative?
That means my aunt's pen.
So what was it then? It was a croque monsieur.
Yeah, and it was just too greasy. It was just too, and it was all wobbly. I like toast, like it to be crisp.
Sure.
It's the thing with like, what? This is rubbish. Play Coldplay. Out of the pan.
Yeah.
Coldplay. It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad, yeah.
Yeah,
not bad.
Nice little track. Yeah. Well, Steve, we've been away now for what, 12, 13, 14 weeks?
Is that really?
Yeah.
Where?
I've been looking forward to coming back. It's great to be back.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, we've had some laughs, some tears in the interim, I imagine.
Yeah.
We've had a few ups and downs, obviously been working on the TV show, The Office, BAFTA winning. coming soon, BBC Two. But I just need to mention something quickly to you. When did I last see you? I saw you yesterday, didn't I?
Yeah.
Because we went up to Edinburgh yesterday. We were very nicely invited to go and talk at the Edinburgh International Television Festival. It was quite a big deal. We went up there and we were interviewed. And Ricky chose to go on the train because it takes like 4 hours, is it 4.5 hours or something on the train?
Yeah.
But it's quite leisurely, it's quite gentlemanly thing to do.
Yeah.
I opted to go for the plane option and fly up there.
More modern.
Exactly. And they bankrolled that. They paid for it all. And that was all not very nice. And as I recall, when I last saw you, we got a cab, didn't we? And you asked if you could get the cab to drop you off at the train station.
Yeah.
And then it took me on to the airport.
Yeah.
That was before, the last time I saw you was before I got to the airport and missed my flight, wasn't it? Because I had to drop you off
That's
in the centre of town. Yeah, no, that was just before I had to pay £165 to upgrade to another ticket.
How did you not tell me that in the last hour?
£165, Ricky. I had to pay because we dropped you off at the train station. So, I mean, do you want to go halves on that, or what do you want to, how do you want to deal with that? How do you want to sort that whole mess out?
Why were you late?
Why was I late? Because we dropped you off in the centre of Edinburgh, and you know how hard it is to get out of Edinburgh in rush hour traffic?
But it was only 3 minutes away, so you'd have missed it anyway.
No, because if we'd gone the other direction, it would have been 20 minutes. It took me like an hour to get to the airport. And I got there, and the plane had already left, and the cabbie was just laughing. He was saying, we're never going to make it. He goes, you were a religious man, you better start praying. I thought he was being facetious. He was absolutely right. £165.
But hold on, why didn't he tell you that when he picked up at
well,
quarter past four?
It makes you wonder. So obviously, I'm a little bit annoyed. Because you know I'm not a man who likes to sort of spend unnecessarily.
But wait, this is not my fault. Because you were there when we made that decision. I didn't impose this on you. We both decided that might be it's both our fault. I mean, it's no one's fault.
It's both our fault. That's fair. That's all I wanted to hear. It's both our fault. Therefore, it's both our financial obligation.
No.
£165. Just split that in half. Write a check, Rick. Write a check. It's fine. I trust you. You know,
phone in. I think everyone. This
you're
is.
You're clearly
obvious.
Responsible.
No, of course I'm not. If you share a cab and then one person's lucky enough to not be late and one person is unlucky enough, and that's what it is, bad luck. I don't think you share the obligation. But phone, it's a moral dilemma, this, isn't it?
But it's more than that, though, isn't it? Because let's be honest.
What?
Even if you had known that I was going to get there late, you'd have wanted me to hang around just so you weren't left around waiting for a train on
the
road.
No, because I got there.
Because you get bored sitting, don't you? So you'd have wanted me to at least got in that car.
I got there way too early. Right. Actually got there about, I was there about 30 minutes
early. Oh, so you made it fine then, that was-
Well, exactly. So, I mean, I did, I sacrificed me hanging around for half an hour so you could get it at 4:15. And the other thing is this, you were going to get it at 4:15 anyway.
Yeah, but I would- if I'd gone the other direction and not dropped you off in the centre, I would have been there in
well,
time.
Well, would we? Would we?
Well,
is that
yes.
true? Wow. Only God knows.
Well, and the cabbie. What I mentioned it to. So.
I'll tell you what'll cheer you up. I'll tell you what's better than 80 quid. I'll tell you what's better than that, shall I?
Go on.
Music.
What, are you paying the whole 165?
Listen, look, I've brought in a little track here, right. Bruce Springsteen off the Tunnel of Love album, and I know you're a Springsteen fan.
I'm a Springsteen fan. We should just qualify this, because a lot of people who listen to XFM obviously a bit edgy about Springsteen. They just think he's this old, kind of ludicrous 80s rocker, the bandana, you know, the flying the flag, which he never really was.
No, that was Bon Jovi.
Exactly.
Don't confuse
Bon Jovi. But seriously, no, do you know what I mean? He did write some great music in the 70s, and he just got a little bit kind of pompous in the 80s, but he still turned out some amazing tunes, one of which I imagine is this one, Rick.
This one's called Brilliant Disguise. Bit of Springsteen there, Brilliant Disguise on XFM 104.9. I think that soothed you a little bit. That's
not really
taking the blood off. I just remember something.
80
as well.
Quid, Rick, 80 quid.
You know what? We finished the talk about sort of 3, and we had a couple of hours to kill before we got the about that half 2, wasn't it? We had a couple of hours before we got the taxi, and we were eating in this cafe, and Steve said, "How long's your train journey?" I said, "Oh, 4.5 hours." He went, "So what time you get?" I said, "I'll get in about 10." He went, "Half 6, me." And he's quite smug, and I went, "Yeah," I said, "it is quite a long time." I just started to sort of relax and over. He went, "Yeah," I said, "but," he said, "I think I'm come off better here, because usually you've organised all this stuff." He said, "but I think you've chosen wrongly." I think, oh, I said, "I think you're right."
Don't think those words were coming back to haunt me as I was handing over 165 notes. All I was thinking was,
and
Ricky's
I was on the train
gonna be loving
in
it.
First class, drinking John Smith's and listening to Mercedes Walkman.
Yeah, but I handed over my initial card. She said 165 quid then. I went, fine, I handed over the card. It was a Switch card. She said, "we don't take Switch."
Don't they?
I was thinking, what am I gonna do then? I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know where I'm gonna get the money from.
What did you do in the end then?
Well, luckily I had another card.
Oh, right.
And she managed to accept that one. But I don't know what I'd have done there. I don't genuinely
know. You didn't
know
tell me you had another card.
Yeah, I got two cards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
oh, that is depressing.
I was so depressed because I just kept thinking about what I'd said to you. I've won this time. Because normally I'm always like legging it for tubes or I'm just, you know, where I get stuck in the rain or
and
something.
I've
I just
organized
never seem to
the driver or something.
Trouble.
Because when you get me a job, I said, why? It's up to you. It's up to you. You know what I mean? Every man for themselves.
But this time it was 4.5 hours and I was just in that 40 minutes on the plane, there'd have been no problem.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I'm so livid. Do you know, I got off, because I was not very well either, I'm a bit ill at the moment, I got off the plane, and I thought, well, I could get a cab from the airport all the way back home, but, you know, I've already been stung for 165 quid, got the tube, took me forever.
Really?
I'm not gonna lie to you, it took me forever. So I got in probably later than you did. Around the 11 o'clock mark.
You didn't really?
No, I wasn't quite as bad as that. But I was so depressed. I'm really depressed, Rick. So I was to say 50 quid is
something
right
there. Well, I mean, Steve does not like to waste money. And I mean, by that, I mean,
I don't like to spend money.
No. He had to go out and get a shirt for a photo shoot. Not quite an important photo shoot for, I think, the Times, right? Went out, he was buying a shirt, went out, planned it, went short. Came back, $14.99 from Henny's.
Henny's, $14.99.
He knew where he was aiming. He aimed straight for Henny's. He knew where he can get a bargain. This is a man.
But it seems to me that at that kind of price, you can throw them away. You don't even need to wash them, really. You can throw them away using, like, Kleenex.
Have you ever thrown one away?
No. Just scrape off the stains and keep on wearing it.
Remember that time when we went to the casino for my birthday, and I was, like, 100 quid down, and some people were 100 quid up, 100 quid down. He, after the 3 hours we were there, was down £20, genuinely depressed.
I was almost crying.
Yeah.
Because I don't, well, it's because it's a mugs game gambling. It really is. Was that where we, because I went there, it was, there was one time we went there, it was, our agent's birthday.
Oh, that was another time we went there, right? And he was up, and he got a win, he was 30 quid up. And so I said, it's your round then. And the round was more than 30 quid. And he couldn't believe it, and he sat down and he went, I couldn't believe it. He said, and I bought him a present, so I was already down.
Yeah. I turned out I was already down because I bought our agent a gift. I didn't see him buy around. And you know that thing where you're buying a round of drinks from people you don't even know? So it's like, what's the story there? Why am I suddenly bankrolling you drinks? It's like, I don't know you people. I'm not going to get any kind of, I'm not going to see you again to sort of reap the benefits at a later point.
Because he came in with his three, ten pound chip. Most of you are married or engaged,
so I'm not even going to pull from it. It was a waste of time.
It was just pure generosity. It was something like from Swingers, because he came into the cocktail bar holding three chips up worth £10 each and went, hello, like that.
I was £30 up. That's a lot of money, Rick. You know, Carl, you know that. 30 quid, you don't want to sniff at that.
Oh, what song should we play? We've got lots of songs in, so I'll...
Bit of Incubus.
Oh. Just to make me more depressed.
Oh.
Do you like that?
Oh, I thought it was a bit slow.
I know, but I'm a fan of it.
I really like slow songs, but I've always been a fan,
even from, you know, early days.
Yeah.
I thought his first song was really great and much maligned. People didn't like it, because they were expecting, like, you know...
The Verve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Urban hymns and all that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
That's great. On XFM 104.9.
Who are you?
Ricky Gervais, who are you?
Steve Merchant.
Who's that little round-headed fella
there?
Oh, there
he is, Carl Pilkington.
Carl, we haven't had a lot of Carl today. He's a bit tired, aren't you?
Just a little bit.
What happened? You came back from Edinburgh today as well, didn't you, on the plane?
This morning.
Yeah.
Got an early flight.
Yeah.
It's just annoying me, because there was, like, people on the plane fighting over, where they wanted to sit.
Surely they've got designated seats.
Well, they have, but that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted to sit next to the friends and that, and it's like, well, you can't because you didn't check in together, so that's the way it is.
Yeah, done.
But the thing is, it's from Edinburgh, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand this sort of...
You can stand for that long, can't you?
Well, why do you have to sit next to the person anyway, to be honest? I mean, fair enough, if you're going on a long flight, someone to talk to, but for 40 minutes, it really doesn't matter.
I never want anyone to talk to. I don't want anyone sitting next to me to talk to me.
Why? What are they there for?
What? I don't mean people I go with. I mean, if I'm travelling alone and I sit next to someone, I don't want them to talk to me.
Yeah, but... I don't really know.
If I was travelling with you, I'd really not want you to talk to me.
Not if you're going to talk like this.
Yeah, this is-
Carl, you sound like you're suicidal, mate. It was just a couple of people arguing, it's over, man.
Yeah.
The plane journey's finished, why is it still stewing you up?
He paid 160 quid and he's not winching, he doesn't care.
165 quid, let's get it right. If we're gonna bring it up, if we're gonna mention it.
And it's like, Waterford looks back to him, like, he said to me, Rick, it's only money, and money is just something you have in case you don't die tomorrow. He's got a great attitude towards money, Steve. It's like, easy come, easy go. So just take a leaf out of Steve, I'm not spending that much merchant, and you'll have a happier life.
Sorry, I just need to defend myself for a minute. There are certain instances in life where, you see, you know you're giving me an attitude like, that I'm tight. It's not tight,
no,
it's
no,
that-
No, 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 no,
shut
no,
up,
no,
let
no,
me defend
no,
myself. It's not,
not
that I'm tight with money, it's that I want to get value for money at all times.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you probably got a lot of cash given to you maybe as pocket money when you were a kid. Every penny I've ever had has been money I've earned.
Yeah.
So frankly, I'm gonna spend it wisely. Like, for instance, you might be, say you're in a party, or so you're at a party, maybe out in a bar with someone's birthday, you get talking to a girl, right? Maybe you buy her some drinks, right? You're chatting to her, and then you're chatting away for 2 hours, and then at the end of the evening she says, oh, da-da-da-da-da, I've got to go meet my boyfriend now. Right, she's wasted my money and my time there.
Yeah.
That's 2 hours wasted and money wasted, right? Now, she should have told me straight away that she had a boyfriend. and I wouldn't have bothered with
that.
I'd have moved on. I'd have looked on to.
What if she thought she was just having a chat with another human being?
Rick, where I'm being deliberately deceived so people can extract money from me or interesting conversation.
Yeah.
She knew what I was after. It was obvious. The drooling mouth, you know, the beady eyes.
And
yet she was leading me on.
And she was a prostitute. And think how he felt about that. I mean, what a slap in the face.
Let's not try and cheapen it with that kind of cheap sexual innuendo, right? She had occasionally slept with me for money.
It wasn't for money, it was for meals.
Yeah. But the point was, do you know what I mean? It's just that sort of attitude generally in my life. It's like, don't waste my time, you know? Don't waste my time or my money. You're like, life is, the clock is ticking as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, and so just, if you've got a boyfriend and I come up and I'm chatting you up, just let me know and I'll move on.
Badge.
I won't bother you.
Or
yes, please. This, I'm glad you mentioned that because I feel they should definitely introduce some kind of
You
system.
See, the problem is that women without boyfriends will be wearing those badges now, and you won't be able to, you know what I mean? You won't be able to say, have you really got a boyfriend?
No, I just think there should be some kind of sort of, this sort of, there should be an etiquette, there should be an understanding.
Yeah.
You know, because they know, they can see what I'm after, it's obvious.
Is it obvious,
yes,
is it?
Yes, I make
you're
it
not,
very clear.
You're not a subtle man.
No, I just come over and pant.
Do you still try and attract their attention by throwing small rocks at them?
Yeah.
As they walk down the, has that ever worked?
Occasionally.
Is it really?
You know, the desperate ones or homeless ones.
Oh, the homeless ones. He once, right, he said to me, he came in to, work, and he said, I gave a homeless girl a pound, right? Because I fancied her. He said, is that wrong? Is that really bad of
me? I don't think it is, you see. I don't think it is. Because it seems to me if she was an attractive homeless girl, then she deserves some of my money.
Imagine him slowing down. I imagine him, like, going past loads of tramps, going, get out of here, get a job. And she goes, hello.
But I have to say, I did for a moment just pause and think to myself whether I could kind of scoop her up in my arms, take her back to my place, and kind of turn her life around like My Fair Lady.
You know what I mean?
And kind of teach her to speak properly and dress her up in smart clothes and take her out into sort of society.
Yeah. I think that's where your first mistake was. You said, listen, love, I'm up for it if I can hose you down. That was where you went wrong. Smith's Cemetery Gates. Great, wasn't it?
Always cracking.
Off Queen is Dead. Voted best album of all time, I think, in an NME poll. I don't think it is their
Strangers
best album.
Here We Come.
I agree.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cracking.
Anyway, Carl. Yeah, so people are arguing on the flight. How did you enjoy Edinburgh, by the way? Anyway, because I saw you up there briefly with you and, Nick Frost, your new mates, Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. You know, he prefers them to us now.
I know, apparently, I could tell that from just talking to him.
It was the way he was sort of looking at them, everything like, he was just smiling at Nick Frost. It's his new best chum. You love Nick Frost, don't you?
Would you have preferred it, right, if I went to Edinburgh and had to sit with some people that I really didn't like? Would you have been happier for me?
No, do you know, but
right, I had a great time with Simon and Nick and the nice people.
But he kept going to, oi, Nick, tell Ricky that story. And Nick and Simon, well, all it was, right, and their ghost stories, he loves them because they believe in ghosts.
Oh.
It's not just
their great blokes, a great sense of humour, just because they believe in ghosts. You go and tell them that, he goes, how do you explain that? I was going, well, I wasn't there. What was that one you told me and it was completely wrong? About the-
It was, oh yeah, right, it's years ago.
Oh yeah.
In
olden days.
Oh sure.
When ghosts roamed the earth.
Once upon a time, you mean?
Yeah.
Some doctor or something who was into, like, the way bodies work, they got their head cut off.
The doctor?
Yeah, he was doing a bit of an experiment.
And he cut his own head off?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was about, he said, when my head's in the basket, I'm gonna blink my eyes.
Right. Okay, sorry, hang on, let him finish.
And,
so the doctor has chopped his own head off and he's told everyone, I'm gonna blink my eyes to prove that
he's in the basket and he goes like, right, I'm gonna blink my eyes about, you know, as many times as I can. So quick, count them. And they count and he got to like 15 before he died.
Now this is how Carl told me that. Till Nick Frost explained that, Carl told me, like, he said, right, well a bloke, right, he had his head cut off, and when his head was in the basket, he went, count how many times I can blink. And I went, well that's rubbish. He went, no, and Nick went, well no, he actually said, when my head's in the basket. And Carl went, oh, right. I said, Carl, do you know the subtle difference? Do you see the subtle difference?
I have to say though, guys, I still don't really understand what went on there. You've both lost me.
The story is that a bloke who'd been found doing,
You mean that Carl just explained it and that was a clear version? Because I still don't know what you're talking about, Carl.
Well, this bloke had his head cut off at, experiments against God. He was a doctor in the, you know, in olden times.
Yeah.
And when they cut his head off...
Why did they cut his head off?
Because it was...
He was executed.
Crimes against... Exactly, he was executed, yeah. And, He said to his assistant, when my head's in the basket, I'm gonna blink, count how many times I blink and write it down as an experiment, right? Carl told it to me, like, his head was cut off and he went in the basket, and when his head was in the basket, he looked up and said, count how many times I blink. Yeah. I love that. I love the difference in that story.
Yeah.
Both rubbish, yeah. But, you know, one's
why
possible
do you
and one isn't.
Anything, you believe anything that you're told except when we tell you the truth.
Right, yeah. Here's one.
Christ.
Ghosts and that we got talking about.
Sure.
And Nick said, right, he said, you'll like this one. Huh. He said, my auntie, was having loads of problems.
Why are you whispering? It's not illegal to talk about ghosts on the radio.
No, but
he's hearing this.
So, the auntie's in the house and that, and, furniture's moving about all the time.
Oh, God.
And they were like,
Steve, you told me this one. This is such rubbish, mate.
No, come on, let's listen.
I'm gonna leave it to you. I'm gonna sit back and enjoy. I'm just gonna watch your face, Steve.
Right.
Sorry, so I missed the beginning there, Carl. There's an auntie.
Basically, Nick's auntie.
Right.
In the house, things moving around all the time. Oh, and it was just annoying every time she tidied up. It was like,
oh, it's just annoying.
Making a mess.
It was one part annoying to two parts scary.
Yeah.
So. stuff was moving around all the time, and they said, right, rather than-
Right, we need an housekeeper.
Yeah. Rather than having the house a mess, until we sort
this out- Stop it! I've got the vicar coming round! Stop moving stuff around!
Oh, yeah, go on.
They said-
That should be in the pants drawer!
Let's put all the furniture in one room, right?
Right.
So, just have one room that's a mess. And have all the others empty.
Because I love the poltergeist can't really, it can move wardrobes around, but it can't open a door to put it in another room.
Yeah.
Poltergeist going, oh, I'm just making this room messy. I wish someone opened the door so I could, go on.
Yeah, but, so all this stuff's in this room.
So they moved all their furniture into one room.
They put like the drawers in there and everything, and it was really uncomfortable, because they were all like on top of each other.
They sat in the room with all the stuff?
Yeah, they had to, because that's where their three-piece suite was.
Okay.
Oh, God!
Right.
All right.
Oh, God!
So they sat there, right, all crumpled up on that, but nothing can move because it's so tight. I think things were trying to move,
but everything
was so tight, it's
they
just
foxed
like,
that poltergeist.
So anyway, one night they sat there, like, sort of a bit awkward watching the telly and that, and, they hear some banging.
Yeah.
In the next room. So, she goes, oh, God, what's that?
Oh, he hadn't moved in, had he, the ghost?
So,
to some of the empty rooms.
So there's this banging-
He's moved some friends and family in.
There's this banging about going on,
no,
so
she
gets up, right?
Yeah.
And what it is, they had the baby in the next room, because there wasn't much room for the cot.
Right, they left the baby with the ghost.
So, they go into the room where the baby is, and the banging-
Yeah.
Is like, do you know those plastic balls you get that you can chuck around the room and like, they go mental?
Right.
The ones that you chuck once and they keep bouncing for ages.
Yeah.
That was bouncing around the room.
Why? What, the baby had thrown it?
It in all the walls, and the baby was there, stood in the cot, sort of laughing.
Right.
And looking at the ball, and wherever it looked, the ball went.
Yeah.
And then she said, stop doing that.
Yeah.
And the ball just stopped.
Did it?
And it rolled a bit and stopped.
Right. So the baby had thrown the ball and it was watching it as it bounced around the room?
It wasn't throwing it, it was in control of it.
No, the point is, Steve, the baby had been doing it, it would have been the baby all along.
The baby had been messing with the furniture. It was
so
a baby
it's a
that
super
had the
baby.
Power. Yeah, it's a baby that had the power.
Special baby.
It's
special
a baby that had the power. It's
what
a
power?
Baby that had the power.
What,
the power,
what's the power
of telekinesis.
Right.
They were then trying to convince me that telekinesis was not like all the other stuff that I didn't believe in, but that was a science.
Right.
Telekinesis was possible.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like ghosts and demons and all that sort of telekinesis is different.
Yeah.
That's a science.
But Nick's auntie saw it, and
I love the fact that you're telling me that someone else's auntie saw it. So I should be satisfied with that.
Yeah.
I should be satisfied with that. I mean,
so does she still live in one room with all her possessions?
No, I think
the baby grew out of it. Apparently,
it grew.
The baby grew out of it.
So it doesn't use its telekinesis powers anymore.
Well, no, it's like in Carrie, innit? She was upset for a bit and then she got over it.
Okay, I'm just gonna say one thing, Carl. That was a film. Do you want to play a record or?
Got free.
All right, on XFM 104. Can I just tell you a story that Carl told me a couple of weeks ago?
Is this another ghost story? Another
spooky
story?
Yeah. I called him out, I was, what are you doing? He said, oh, I said, I've just been reading ghost stories again. He went, he said, right, he said, you don't believe in them, but how do you explain this? So I went, go on. He said, I'll tell you as he told me it. He went, bloke, right, just sitting at home. Just sitting at home, doing, you know, watching telly with his cat. And, the phone rings, and it's a bloke going, is that fire, in your oven okay now? Cause your wife called. And he went, Carl went, well, one, there was no fire in the oven. Two, he wasn't married. I went, right. Go on, he went, well. Then, right, there was a knock at the door, and there was two sort of people in sort of white coats, and they came and said, oh, we've come about that fire. Your wife called us. He went, one, there isn't a fire in my oven, and two, I'm not even married, right? And he said, and they saw the cat, and they sort of, they looked at the cat, it looks a bit weird, the cat came out, and it was nothing. He said, and then he went back, it sat down, phone rings, and they said, oh, did they sort out the fire in the oven that your wife told us about?
Oh.
He went, one, there is no fire in my oven, two, I haven't got a wife. And Carl went, what do you think of that? I went, that's not it. He went, yeah, I went.
That's the end of the story.
What? He went, well, how'd you explain that? I went, explain what? I thought he was going to say, a year later we got married but she died in an oven fire. Right? I thought it was going to be that, and I went,
that's people winding him up.
Yeah, or someone did report a fire in the oven, and their name was Johnson, and they looked up Johnson, they got the wrong thing, it was the gas board, or, and they sent round to the wrong person, right? You know, he went, yeah, I said, I explained it to him, he went, yeah, why do they look at the cat funny?
Oh, man alive, Carl. This is really weird, right? I was in my house once, right, and the doorbell rang.
Yeah.
Right, I opened the door, and there was no one there.
Yeah.
Right? And then I looked across the street, and right, and there were some kids running away.
Yeah.
Now, how do you explain that?
Yeah.
There was another time, right, where, like, I opened the door, and there was a bloke goes, you've ordered pizza. I went, I haven't ordered pizza. And I heard my mate upstairs giggling and putting the phone down.
Yeah. How do you explain that? Carl, seriously, why did you tell me that story? What did you think it was weird about that?
The fact that it was three different people.
Is this all the information? Is that the entire story? Have you?
Three different people.
Did you fall asleep and not read the end?
A fire that didn't happen, about a wife that didn't exist, and a cat that didn't look happy.
Oh, I'm gonna have a heart attack, Carl. What? I mean, why did they look at the cat funny?
Because cats don't like spirits, do they?
What? And the other blokes were ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So these are kind of beetle about type ghosts. These are ghosts who walk the earth as the undead, just winding people up slightly.
That's lovely. That is lovely. Seriously, and a cat that did not look happy.
But seriously, why would ghosts wander around just like winding people up?
Oh,
maybe something did happen there years ago.
Mm.
Some fire. Some woman might have died in the house of a fire or something.
Yeah,
and it sort of all happened again.
Yeah, it's certainly a mystery.
It's a mystery. Yeah. I mean,
What's this book you were reading? You were reading a book, which is interesting enough.
It was the Fortean Times.
Oh, Carl.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to say.
Well, I'll tell you this, Carl. Here's a track that will spook you right out. This is Warren Zevon from, was it, like about 1979, early 80s?
Oh, great track.
Werewolves of London. Play this, Carl. But don't be scared. 1978, Carl, Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. Are you a fan of that?
It's alright,
great track, isn't it?
Fans of Warren Zevon, maybe if you should know, he's got a new album out. As we speak. Although, if you're a fan, you probably know that already.
Yeah.
If you aren't a
People
fan,
who hate him would be interested in knowing that he's got a new album out.
Yeah.
Do you believe in, I think Werewolves. Lycanthropy? Is it not called?
What's that, sorry?
Lycanthropy.
What's lycanthropy?
Isn't that werewolfism?
Really?
Isn't it? Do you believe in that, Carl?
They've found stuff, haven't they? They've found kids walking about who are all airy. Because they've sort of grew up with, wolves and that.
Yeah.
So. No. You see, two things there. You cannot take on acquired characteristics genetically. So, if you grew up with wolves, it wouldn't suddenly make you hairy.
There's been stories on it, and I reckon most people have, or a lot of people have seen the stories. It's a popular thing.
You mean the kids that are born hairy?
No, these kids have been born hairy, right?
Yeah, that's it.
No, but listen, and they walk around on all fours, and they drink milk from a saucer.
Oh, Steve, this is too easy.
No, remember that time with the maggot in the head? and getting out with bacon, and you were like laughing, and then people called up and said, "Yeah, I've seen that. I've read about that."
Yeah,
this
but
is the same thing.
Have you seen an XFM listener up close? Have you ever looked?
They drink milk from a saucer.
Yeah, they've got to be kept on leads. People who listen to this show.
There's no point in me telling you about stuff.
There is. It's comedy
you see,
gold.
When you were out of school, did you keep arguing with the teacher saying you're talking rubbish? There?
Teachers didn't teach us about werewolf boys and ghosts. They taught us maths. God, right. Tell the story about the manhole cover.
Right, in the same magazine as the one with the cat and the fire and that.
Don't tell me that story again. It gives me the shit.
Yeah, a cat that's got a weird expression on its face is against God.
Anyway, this isn't a scary story. This was just like physics.
Explained.
Physics.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was going on about the nuclear bomb and how powerful it is. And they put a manhole cover on top of one.
Okay.
Blew it up.
Yeah.
Never saw the manhole cover again.
Man alive, Carl. Unexplained.
What's going on there? Something weird is happening there. Oh.
If anyone has ever seen that manhole cover,
please
get in touch. We'd love to know where it is.
Oh, that's fantastic. What sort of experiment is that? I imagine all these scientists on multi-billion-pound research budgets, they're going, we tested everything. What would you do to a manhole cover? Don't know.
That's like letting a couple of students
Yeah, exactly. Do you reckon it could send a traffic cone into orbit? Go on then, put it on there. I love that. I imagine that. What value is that? I might tell you what we could do. We could put the manhole cover on it and aim it and then blow the bomb up and it would the manhole cover would have someone's eye out. Fire it. See if you can fire manhole covers off the nuclear bomb. Whatever. Try bangers to a bomb. See if it's louder. Oh, God.
Okay, listen, Carl, play another track and then afterwards, can we probe your views on the week's news?
If you want.
We'll do a bit of a White Van Carl session.
Today is the greatest, because we're back.
That's true enough.
All right.
I hope people were listening to that loud in this lovely summer's day.
Not too loud.
Well,
don't annoy people.
White Van Carl. I mean, for those that don't know, we do this
We ask Carl the questions that the Sun asks someone else.
That's right, the Sun every day asks some, you know, average Joe, his views on the week's big stories. Mm. Carl, let me ask you now, what do you make of Prince Harry smoking openly at a polo club? Are you aware of this story?
No. Was it? Go on.
Prince Harry, you know that he's one of the royals.
Yeah.
And he was seen smoking openly, a fag, a cigarette, at a polo club.
Third in line to the throne.
Something like that, yeah.
Imagine that. Someone smoking a cigarette, who's third in line to the throne.
A cigarette, Carl.
Is it a non-smoking polo club?
Do you know, I don't know, but if it were, would that make things even worse for you?
Well,
no,
yes.
Seriously, what do you make of it? This is you know, the whole, you know, the furore is he's a role model, you know, he's a royal, should he be seen puffing away in a public place?
I don't think it matters, does it?
Not concerned for you?
How old is he? Is he old enough to smoke?
I think he probably is, yes.
Right, yeah. I think the trouble with this role model thing, with anything that's legal, it should either be illegal or not.
Yeah.
I just don't think you can impose things like that, because you could say that it is bad for you, and it is bad to start smoking, and it really is bad for you, you know, it causes cancer and everything.
But everyone knows
Well, yeah, but you should either make it illegal or shut up about it. So this is Carl you're asking, isn't it?
I am indeed. Sorry, so we can throw these questions your way as well, if you fancy.
Sorry, yeah.
it doesn't matter.
But Carl, what are your views generally? I mean, it's obviously cigarettes are perfectly legal and so on, but what about stronger narcotics? Because I know you're very scared of drugs and stuff, aren't you?
I'm not a fan.
No, what's your concern? What's your worry?
Just that you might get into them.
Sure.
It's like you might have them and go, oh, this is alright.
Yeah. Exactly, Carl. Yeah. Exactly.
Although I was talking to you about it earlier, and you weren't very sympathetic about a lot of young people who have perhaps gone to crack or smack. Didn't you describe it as their own fault?
Sometimes it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I could have turned to it where I grew up, but I said, well, don't want to do that, it's not good for you.
Sure.
And I avoided it.
You turned to ghosts.
So you've got no sympathy for anyone who's a drug addict? It's their own fault, is your-
It depends, doesn't it?
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? You can be an addict if, I don't know, something, I'm trying to think of a nice way that
Well,
you
most
might
people start on stuff like that because something really traumatic's happened to them. Very few people go out for a laugh one night and go, let's all try it.
Sure.
So, you know, but Yeah.
Just anyway. Say No, I suppose it's the action
no,
in the
listen
end.
To the cast of Grange Hill.
Now, this will scare you. Now, this Carl, you will be a little bit unnerved about this. Have you seen the film Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
You know what happened there? Well, according to the Sun here, it says scientists are planning to clone mammoths for a theme park. Look at his face, look at that, he looks like a dog caught in the headlights of a car, he's terrified.
I love Carl.
He sprung to attention
Carl.
There.
Is that the best news you could have?
Man moths.
Right.
Yeah, man Carl, moths.
I
man
love
moths.
The fact that that's why he was so excited that they bred a man moth. What is this? Yeah, it's a human being that hides in your wardrobe and eats an entire jacket in a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean, man moths? Mammoths! Mammoth! The big hairy cow from the Ice Age. I mean, elephant.
You're not so excited about that, then? You can take or leave bringing back mammoths to life, but a man moth?
A man moth is a different matter. Oh. if we'd have never brought that up, he'd have gone and told someone now.
Yeah.
You know, they've bred an half man, half moth.
This is
how things start.
This is what we mean when you hear these ghost stories.
Are you slightly deaf? Is that it? When you hear these stories, you're slightly deaf. And his head was in the basket. And he went, count how many times I blink. Carl,
is English your first language? Are you actually foreign? Is that the thing?
Yeah.
When we say foreign, we
mean not of this planet.
Yeah. Should we speak slower? Would that be a help to you?
No. Go on.
What do you make of that?
Do you think that's good to bring back mammoths? These giant elephants.
They're slow, aren't they? It's not as if they're going to, like, get out and run fast and they can't capture them.
They'll probably be offended, to be honest, Carl. They'll probably be offended.
No, but but you're asking it as if, like, oh, it could all go wrong, but it couldn't, could it?
Well,
really?
but the point was about Jurassic Park is they thought it wouldn't go wrong. They thought it had it all under control.
Have you learned nothing from Jurassic Park, Carl?
Dinosaurs would say, "Oh, think about it before you do it." But with a hairy elephant, it's not going
to not a concern for you. Would you go along to see him? Would you be interested in it?
If it was in the area.
He's great, isn't he? I'd love a queue,
nothing
right?
Impresses
no, but what I'd like to do is Carl sitting like Yoda in a little cave, and I'd just like to see people like Tony Blair and, you know, Stephen Hawking in a queue, and they go and say, Carl, got a bit of a problem.
Yeah, and thinking of cloning a man and a moth.
Yeah.
Problem?
Yeah.
Not an issue. No, if I'm in the area, I might cruise around and have a look at it. Otherwise, just don't send it near my clothes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it's just for a second. As the words man moth came into your head, how excited were you? I mean, were you both terrified and excited? Just for the moment when you thought that they'd cloned a man and a moth.
I pictured,
what kind of face did he have? Did he have the moth's head, or was it a man's head?
Just a little man head.
Right, what was his face? What did it look like?
He was like, a bit shocked.
Perplexed, yeah.
So
it was like he'd been grafted onto the body of a moth without his consent.
And when he was asleep,
he'd woken up.
He just went in for another goiter removed, and they said, "We've replaced your goiter with the body of a giant moth."
Yeah,
is that all right, Mr. Jenkins?
So he had the head of a little. Was it a little boy or a man?
Little man.
Right. Okay.
And he's just bumping into a lamp.
He's just bumping into a lamp.
Carl, if you went into hospital. And they'd done something. What's the worst thing they could do, right? What would you rather have done, right? You wake up and you've got, lobster claws for hands.
Right.
You wake up and you've got duck's feet. Or you wake up and you've got one horn coming out of your head.
The worst thing?
Yeah.
Probably the, the horn coming out of my head.
Why?
Get in the way.
That'd be useful, wouldn't it? In fights and stuff. And, for, like, parties, people would play
quoits. I suppose the lobster claws would also be quite handy there.
Definitely.
Black Rebel, Motorcycle Club, Spread Your Love. You enjoying it so far?
Yeah, I suppose so.
First show back?
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's great to be
I'm
back.
I'm just thinking about that money, Rick, to be honest.
I know, yeah.
Could we maybe get, like, a sort of telethon type thing going, or a little charity thing, just sort of help me pay
you can't really ask people to send you money,
really?
It's technically begging.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you're are you a registered charity?
I suppose not really.
We could probably get you status.
Yeah. But could I pretend to give them something in return? I mean, am I allowed to sell things on the radio?
Yeah, you are. Yeah. So. Although you probably get in trouble with the authority if you're using it to sort of like to your own
gain,
not like everyone else doesn't.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Free lunches and sponsorship and God knows what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Put the people that work here, small fry, the Yeah. Scum.
Exactly, the nobodies, yeah.
Yeah.
But, 165 quid is pretty, it's quite a lot of money, so, I mean, if you want to contribute anything, Rick, as I said before, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, no, I would if I felt any responsibility.
Right. Yeah,
or cared. Sure. But, yeah, I got there too early, which is annoying. what we should have done, really, was, get you your plane and come back, because I'd have had time.
Do you know, I was going to mention it at the time, but I didn't want to, because I knew the answer would be no.
oh, Carl. Oh, I've had a great time. I've forgotten how good it was just to have a normal just to have a conversation with you. We've been looking forward to this. He's really down today, isn't he?
He's down, man, isn't
just
he?
Just a bit tired.
But it's interesting, because I said to him, did you enjoy Edinburgh? He spent the week up in Edinburgh, yeah. Obviously, and he said he had a whale of time. He loved it up there. He's been partying every night, and he actually enjoyed it. And I've never met him when he's actually enjoyed anything before. He's never enjoyed anything, as far as I know. And I'm depressed that we weren't involved.
His paper round.
He loved the paper round, and this is the first time.
He was talking about that the other day as well, but I said to him, he really thinks that paper round he had when he was 14 was the best job he'd ever had. Yeah, he still thinks the best job because he said he was his own boss. But no, you weren't. He went, well, I'll get on my bike and think. And he said, I bet if I phoned those people who I delivered the papers to, they'd say it was the best delivery they've ever had. He said, in fact, I bet a lot of them have chucked in delivery because it went downhill. This is all, he went along.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
Imagine phoning someone up and saying, you don't remember me, but I used to deliver your paper 10 years ago. Was it the best delivery service you've ever had?
No, but if I said, I delivered it 10 years ago, you used to, if you got up at like 6 in the morning, it was there for you.
Yeah.
There's no other paper boy who could guarantee that they'd have that paper when they got out of
bed. Carl, if you could earn enough money, would you do a paper round again? If you, if that was your job, but you were being paid enough to make a living from it, is that something you think about? Do you think you'd enjoy it as much nowadays?
Yeah, I reckon I would, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, listen to some music.
Sure.
£1,000 a week, would you do the best?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Is there anyone out there who is willing to test that? Is there anyone who's willing to pay Carl, right,
a grand, yeah,
to take a week off work and deliver papers just for that week?
All day, though, it's all day.
No. I'll get up and the customers will have their paper.
Yeah, but can I tell you what street it is?
No, because
no, it's the M25.
See,
you are being paid £1,000.
Yeah, £1,000. You've got to deliver to the M25. I'll tell you what. Let's take the mood down a little bit and play one of the most beautiful songs I've been looking forward to getting. By the way, just to play this. To be honest, it's Jimmy Webb's version of Galveston. Galveston, there by the brilliant Jimmy Webb.
Uh huh.
Who wrote it?
Who wrote it?
He wrote it.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant Jimmy Webb, who wrote it? Yeah. It was all one sentence.
Yes.
Did I confuse you?
Again, yeah.
With my speech patterns.
It's just using the English language is always helpful, right?
But compared to Carl, I'm Oscar Wilde, aren't
I suppose so.
Be afraid.
Electric Soft Parade on XFM 104.9. Not long to go on our a triumphant return. I think the paper to be saying, Steve.
Yes, yes.
Carl, I met Carl a couple of times in our sabbatical, and, he said to me once, he said, oysters. So I said, have you ever tried oysters? I don't like them. And I went, he said, oh, it's just a thing about swallowing them whole, you know. He went, well, the reason you have to do that is just they're fatally poisonous. And if you bite into them, they kill you. And I went, well, of course they don't. He went, yeah. I went, well, of course they wouldn't. What have you chewed on? I said, he said, no. I said, well, so you swallow them whole and they're not poisonous. He went, yeah, ah, see. He said, so, he said, when you swallow heroin in a Johnny, he says, that doesn't kill you, does it? That was it.
Oh.
And then, about a week later, he went, I was wrong about them. Yeah, I went, well, he said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And what did you say?
It's if you eat them and then you have some whiskey.
They turn deadly when whiskey comes into contact with them.
Yeah, when they've had a drink.
When they've had a drink, they get a bit rowdy in your stomach. They start fighting, they can cause rupture.
So what are you saying now? Are you saying you don't believe that?
Am I saying what?
Are you saying you don't believe
that? Look, he thinks he's got us here. He thinks he's got us here. Yeah, I don't believe that if you eat an oyster, then drink some whiskey, you die.
You might not die straight away, but you won't
eventually, 50 years' time.
If you've got, you've got to keep on drinking whiskey.
Yeah, 50,
a bottle a day.
50 or 60 years later, he was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oyster and a bottle of whiskey a day. Oh. Then, out of nowhere, 40 years later.
Where does this information come from, Carl?
If some doctor called up now.
Yeah.
And put you right, would you believe him?
If it wasn't Dr. Fox. Yeah.
What about the airy lads growing up with the werewolves and that?
They didn't grow up with werewolves.
Werewolves grow up with werewolves.
You're confused about three
just
different
genetic
stories,
mutation where they, you know, they were born with very, very hirsute.
There were a couple of kids, yes,
they didn't
we know.
Grow up with wolves, and you can't kill them with a silver bullet. I mean, you're confusing two things.
There were
you?
Some kids who were very, very hairy, yes, yeah. They're in folklore. There were some kids who grew up with wolves, yes. I don't think the two are connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no such thing as werewolves, Carl.
You
believe me, I saw a documentary on it on the History Channel. You'd have loved it.
You grew up with a magpie.
Werewolves.
You know, you don't flap around, do you, and steal people's jewellery?
What was the thing you told me about snails?
Have you ever had any, any post that looks like it's been opened?
Occasionally, yeah, yeah.
Alright, well what it is, it's not your postman having a
sneaky look.
A sneaky look. Problem is,
right?
Slugs.
The problem's slugs.
Slugs at night, they like nipping about and that, and it gets a bit cold. And in London, like in the country, they go into the grass, don't they?
Right.
But in London, it's like, oh, what can we do? And they go in letterboxes.
Slugs right? go in letterboxes.
Get in letterboxes. It's nice and warm in there, dry and what have you. And
these are homeless slugs, aren't they? The ones that have lost their shell.
When they're in there, they only found out that they love glue.
They love
and
glue.
They've been eating the glue off the stamps.
Right.
And people have been getting charged for post because it hasn't had stamps on it. It's like, well, they put a stamp on it.
Yeah.
It's like slugs have been eating it.
Sure.
And they also eat the glue that's on the actual envelope shutter. And it's a real popular problem, this, that letters are being lost and opened and all that stuff. Yeah. Slugs.
Are slugs like stealing postal orders and things and cashing them in and stuff?
Yeah, again, you know, if there's a doctor, if there's a postman.
Yeah.
Well, with us two expert witnesses, a doctor and a postman. So, so postage is a real problem.
So, when we see a slug's trail, or a snail's trail.
It's glue.
That's the glue they've stolen, is it? That's a little.
I'm not going to say yes to that, because I'm not sure.
But we could follow that trail and find them, and they'd have a big sort of
big pile of letters.
Yeah, our stamps and
yeah, there they are.
Like birthday cards from our aunts and stuff.
Yeah, but £2 notes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wow.
Slugs.
Wow.
So, oysters and whiskey kill you, and slugs.
Be very careful. If you're going to go out this evening, you're thinking of having a whiskey, maybe some oysters, be very, very careful.
Yeah. And if you are going to post a letter, please do not use tasty glue.